Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life with KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. And today's conversation is one of resilience, identity, and what it really means to keep moving forward, even when life takes away your ability to really look back. Welcome on Stephanie Jurisic. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How are you doing today?
You know, trying to battle a little sickness and have some company coming into town. So it's still pushing through it.
That's all we could do. That's all we can do. I'm just going to jump in and we'll just see where we go. I'm excited to be able to help you share some of your story. A lot of your story initially when we talked and things like that, it talked about constant movement. And I want to backtrack a little bit. My mother never wanted to ever move. She always wanted us in one household only and never leaving the house because she was in constant movement through her childhood and things like that. So I know that constant movement can be a high stressor. Can you talk to me a little bit about the constant movement in the beginning of your life?
So I grew up, or I was born in St. Louis. But we lived on the Illinois side in Southern Illinois. And from there, wow, it went crazy. I've moved probably about 35. When I finally counted, I think I was like 19 or 20. And I counted how many times like I've moved and how many different schools I've been to. So I moved about 35. It's even more now. But I also quit it then. I was like, okay, that's enough. That's what it's at. So then I went to 10 different schools and never knew anything different, except I was always the new kid. And I'm trying to think of the longest I was ever at a school. And I want to say it was 2.5 years, both my first high school and my second high school. So I was always the new kid. I think I had one other instance where I was there 2 years. I would have been at one school longer, but it closed down. So again, I had to switch schools. Everybody was all nervous. I'm like, this is second nature. Yeah. What are we doing today?
You learned real quick to roll with it.
Yes, yes.
What kind of impact moving schools and moving homes, because homes for a lot of people are their safe space or at least their bedrooms and things like that. What kind of emotional toll did that take on you to constantly be moving?
A lot. My mom had me in counseling at the age of 6. And now as I'm older, things make more sense to why we thought it was because I had an absent dad, but it was also that constant moving. I didn't know what stability was. And some of the stability I did see was not good anyways. It wasn't safe in all ways. So, and that's why we would leave sometimes and go to a new place. And it's traumatizing. I think my whole life I've been in flight or fight mode because that's all I've known. I worked very hard to try to bring it down, but I literally think it's a permanent permanent thing on me just from all this.
Yeah.
Now, as older, I will say I've had stability with my husband. We've lived in places, I want to 6 years, I think, was our longest place, and working on making that happen again. But then again, it also makes me able to adjust. I know how to adjust, and I feel like I can be, I'm a chameleon. I can adapt to a lot of situations. So yes, it's very stressful, but it taught me a lot that most people don't know or
Yeah.
never had to deal with.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, the gift that you get from it, because I do believe that life is very much what you're looking for. And if you look for, yes, I went through this and you stay there, then it keeps you in that lower vibration or lower energy. But when you can talk about it and see the gifts that do come from it, and sometimes it's really hard to find good things that come out of it, but they're there if you dig and you're willing to look for it. So I like that you brought that up.
And that's another thing that I had to learn was either I was going to be a woe is me person. And believe me, I still have periods of time where I get like that. But then it's like, okay, snap out of it. I'm blessed for how far I've come.
Yeah, definitely. Do you feel like resilience was something that you chose, or is it something that just you had to do? I know you always have this you can do go this way or you can go that way, but do you think that there could have been different roads that you could have chosen?
Yeah, chosen, some chosen, some not. And I think that it very much, it's not something that, I mean, I was taught it because my mom was right there. My mom was my everything, especially through all this. That is the one constant I have had even through some of our issues. But it was, I had to learn it. Like, it was survival. It was either I learned to fit in, I learned to do this or that, or A, you're gonna get bullied more. B, you're gonna go through the hard times are going to feel harder. There's so much that comes with learning resilience and making it a part of your life in a good way. And you ask, are there other avenues? Yes, but I try not to think of those because again, that's gonna take you down the hole.
What do you think little Stephanie needed the most during those years of possibly needing consistency that you don't think you received?
1,000% stability of,
Stability.
but more than that, a lot of my moving and stuff was because of relationships my mom had with guys, so I never had that. I know I never, no man in my life has ever been great until my husband, and shown me the things that I needed to know. I did have one stepdad that helped teach me a lot in life, but then became not a good person. And I was older for that. And but then again, I have parts of my childhood blocked out, and you wonder if that's why. So
Definitely.
with stability, I would say number one, and then just having learning what a dad figure or just another partner in general
What
to
that
help
looks like.
mom along or be there for me. And yeah.
And I think you mentioned blocking some of it out. I recently read a book and it talked about how when you're in fight or flight for so long that you don't even realize that you're in it and that you miss out on a lot of different things because you're not in the moment. You're constantly thinking other things. So you miss out. So I looked back on my kids, when they were little, and there's certain things that I don't remember. And now I look back and I'm like, I know why I don't, because I had a hard time being in the moment because that was dangerous. In the past, it was dangerous to be in the moment. So you thought about other things. And so I find that really fascinating, talking about the fight or flight and being in it a lot of your life.
Yeah, and so it's still like I truly feel like I have permanent because I still have even good times that I don't want to be blocked out that just unfortunately have been blocked out due to other things too, like things we'll talk about too that makes it a little worse.
So I want to talk a little bit. You lived through a lot of things that the average person probably wouldn't live through and experience. I read that at 7 years old, you were misdiagnosed and put on medication that began shutting your body down. How in the world did that experience shape any part of who you were at that moment?
So, gosh, it was crazy. So I was a kid that was kind of always had sick. I had a lot of pain as a kid, and my pain went from my back into my chest. And so they thought I had this heart problem, and they put me on medicine for a heart problem. And because I was put on that medication, when it wasn't meant for me, it was doing the opposite. It was literally putting me down. So my whole that part of my life, it was crazy. So by the time I was 9, I finally got to Mayo Clinic, and that is actually what truly shaped me. So because at 7, I didn't realize things as much. I was definitely, even though I've been through so much, I was very much kind of an innocent kid too. I didn't realize till later how much I've been through or anything like that. I just was doing my life, I guess, but it put me in a world of, oh, I don't even know. I never, until I actually read some of your questions, I never realized that is that when I started always having second guesses in doctors. And when I've started feeling like a science, I always call myself a science experiment.
Do you have, I know we'll probably talk about it, but do you have autoimmune diseases and things like that? Because I always feel like I do, and I always feel like science experiment whenever I'm going in, and they're like, let's try this. I don't know.
I have a yes and no. So I don't have actually like a lot of autoimmune things. I have things that they think I should have, and all the tests come out normal. But all the things that I always have the thing that they never think of, or well, that doesn't happen to people, or well, it happened to me. I just always
To your trust in the medical profession on what they're trying to accomplish, or trust in doctors. Is it hard for you to trust doctors?
yes, very much so. It takes me a lot, and I always feel like they have an ulterior motive, and that ulterior motive to me is money or, stuff like that. Or I'm, like I said, I'm the case that, well, that doesn't happen to people, or that's not normal. Well, here I am. And so I, especially if I feel in my heart or, in my body that something is more than. I just have to say, okay, well, that one's a wash. Keep going. That's how I finally found. So when all this was figured out,
Because you've had
and
25, did I read 25 surgeries?
yes, now, so I've had women's surgeries. I've had a complete hysterectomy. I've had 9 spine surgery. So when that all started, I was a Shriners kid. I was a Shriners teen, actually. I was there from 17 to 21. But again, I was born with scoliosis, kyphosis, and a deformed spine. And because my spine was deformed, I had two wedges. and one going this way and one going this way. And that's why my curve didn't end up getting worse until I got arthritis. And they didn't, you didn't really hear of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So that's where between my stomach and my spine is where my instability has always been. All that area pretty much. And so I would go there and I would be like, I'm in pain. And they'd be like, well, you're not supposed to have pain from scoliosis and all this. And it was stuff like that. Well, okay, you're not supposed to, but I am. It's a feeling of not being heard. That's what I have a problem with doctors, is I don't feel heard half the time. Or they,
You feel pretty strongly about patient advocacy because pushing until you get what you need?
yes, as long as you know there's a good way and bad way for that, so
Sure.
you gotta know and you gotta have some kind of proof or things. Or back in these days, the internet wasn't what it, I didn't have the internet. I didn't have the internet for like to know other people of me until like 2015. That's also because I'm a little bit older and it wasn't like a thing that
Yes.
I was brought up doing, And so the more research I started doing after they brought up EDS and they told me I was going to be completely fused, then I learned that I had to keep fighting. And I can't tell you how many doctors I've seen for my spine and how many would either tell me that there's nothing wrong when clearly there was, or I like the doctors that'll actually tell me, I can't work on you. Your case is too severe or different. I can't work on you. I would rather you tell me that and then tell me, A, there's nothing wrong, or give me some other story.
Yeah, no, it's true. What would you tell someone who is stuck and they're trying to feel heard from doctors? What are some of the things that you've done that have given you some momentum?
Find a new doctor first and foremost. And if you, that's not always. Not everybody can do that, but most places there's a lot of doctors now. Try your universities, go to your schools where they know more, like they're learning more current things and everything. But you have to keep going. You have to don't give up because a doctor gave up. That's a good way to put it. If you feel in your heart something's wrong and something is more, keep going because we know our body's the best.
Just going to say that we know our bodies. It took me till I well I'll be 50 this year, but it was like
Look
seven.
beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It took me until I was in my early 40s before I got diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos and several other things that are like that. Because I remember my doctor, he used to move my kneecaps around and say, kneecaps aren't supposed to move like that, you know? And I'd say, yeah, okay, so why? And they didn't know anything about it back then. You know, I'm
Right,
just
right.
super flexible.
So, my fingers go way back and
Yeah,
stuff. I would show doctors that, and they're like, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm like, why
they're like,
not?
yeah, no, I feel that so much because they used to always be like, well, I don't know, you always roll your ankle. It's because of this or it's because of that. And it's like, no, it's my body just doesn't hold together. That's what
Right,
it
right.
is.
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. And when I was diagnosed in 2015 with EDS, and they kind of put two and two together, and I was like, oh my God. Now, they also thought I had Ehlers-Danlos kyphoscoliotic, which is even worse. And they kind of, once I moved to Tennessee, they did everything here to make sure that I don't have that, which is a good thing. I do have hypermobile EDS. But that's Tennessee's who found out that I have gene traits of Russell Silver syndrome, which is a form of dwarfism, which I've asked my doctors my whole
How
life.
interesting.
Am I, you know, am I? And because I'm before my before they made me completely fused, I was 4'7", and now I'm 4'8". And they before all this time, I would always it was always brought up as a kid. At 2 years old, my mom knew I was not reaching the height requirements, you know, and no doubt they'd be like, no, she's too tall, or like my. I don't have disproportionate parts very much. I mean, some are shorter than others, but everything kind of goes together. But
Sure.
so it was never just, I was never looked at like that. And it wasn't until I was 42, 43 that I got told, yep, yeah, it
And
is.
how impactful would that have been for you to know that years ago? Because I'm sure there's things that go along with it. It would have been paramount if you would have known. God. How so? With all the surgeries you've had and all those things, talk to me about your relationship with your body. How has that kind of evolved through up until this point? I know self-love is a hard thing, and I'm learning to love my body where it's at. Talk to me about that with you.
Oh, so okay, so as of 12 years old, because of my shape and my back, like I've had like back fat, but and I love being my thick self. I'm in beautiful, but that was very hard. So I have always between that, between being a woman and the women problems I've had going up and down in weight, that has been really hard. Self-love was hard before I had my big surgery. And then in 2016 is where they did my longest, biggest surgery, and it was 16 hours. And
Oh.
from being on my face for 16 hours, I, first of all, wasn't able to even get to a bathroom or a mirror. I didn't even think about it until I was able to get to the bathroom to look in the mirror to look like, see if I changed. I didn't think I would change, but there was something that I didn't look the same anymore. And now I think I figured out because they've had to like pull my neck so much. Like I lost my neck. My neck is not there anymore. There's just things that I've lost due to all this medical stuff. Couldn't bear a baby. Couldn't have that joy. Other ways around that, I know, but still to have one, it's yeah.
Yeah, and
I
it's
that's
whatever
something.
your life would want to be. It was taken from you. You know, that's valid
Yes.
grief. Yeah, for sure.
And I was told at 9 years old that for me to have a kid could be a very scary thing because I didn't know if I'd have the room inside me and with my spine if it would push on my spine
Sure.
or get things moving that way. So it was always a risk, but still it was a risk that I was willing to take when I was ready. And
Yeah.
then my husband and I got married, and a month and a half later, I had my complete hysterectomy. And we already knew that it might happen. I already had seven women's surgeries before that one. So it was already talked about. But when it gets taken from you, that's just a different
Yeah.
feeling. And you get
Yeah.
mad. You go, there's a lot of grief I've gone through, and you have to go through the stages of it. I think now I'm just learning to start loving myself more. Again, you got me on a halfway good day. There's times that I
Right.
still can't stand what I see in the mirror.
I mean,
But
that's fair. That's fair. I think everybody has those. So, yeah, it's.
it's just been a cycle of, it goes back to that. If I let myself keep thinking negatively, then that's not gonna, I won't get out of this. So I have to, or had to teach myself to find other things to love about myself. That's why I do my hair the way I do, is because it's my little thing I can still do with my body and everything. It's my, it's still my, it's my character and
Yeah.
everything. I
Yeah,
was just
it's
trying to grow it out for a second, and that didn't last very long
you.
because it, I've, and that's one thing, like I've, nothing's ever stayed. with me. I'm always in changing mode, changing mode. But finally, I found my hair to be the one thing that, oh, I like this and this feels like me. So it's finding other things that will make you happy, will make you still have an identity.
Yeah, and it is you. That's the celebratory part, is you found some parts of you that make you happy. Because Lord knows our whole bodies don't always make us happy, but not at
No,
all.
dang, dang it.
So I want to go back to 2015. It says you lost the mobility, you lost the ability to walk.
So, that so when and that too, that took a couple of, anyways. That's when I just graduated in 2014 from college, and I was trying to get my foot in the door at a doctor's office, and every time I would walk, I would get this horrible pain on my right side. And it was like in my rib area a little bit. And so they found out that my rib was inside my pelvis. So that every time I would, that's where that pain would come from. And that's how my curve was going. And that's why they had to straighten me. And so I didn't lose like the ability to get up and walk. I lost the ability to walk due to, I mean, excruciating pain and nerve pain. And then it was starting to make my leg weak and everything. So I ended up having a wheelchair for anything lengthy, or I couldn't even walk a block. So, but I'd push myself too far just to not be shown in that wheelchair half the time. Like, I go back to try to find pictures. I think I have two pictures of me in a wheelchair because another thing I was taught is I have conditions, but you fight through those and you try to act normal.
And while I am a big fan of you don't let them define you. You know, that's like I have a lot of things with me and I don't talk about them a lot, but I do find the reason why we talk about them is because everybody has different things. And when we start being able to talk about them, they're like, ah, well, I saw Stephanie and she said she has scoliosis. So she does her hair fun. And so I can do that too. I think that it just creates this ripple effect, you know, all the way across that people are like, oh, okay. So someone else has it. And it's something that's so needed to be able to talk about things like that.
Yes, I agree. The only downside to me is when you have so much, I have to catch myself from sometimes not everyone needs relatable. I will be honest, that's one downfall with me. I try to relate to everyone because unfortunately I've been through a lot. But sometimes not everybody needs that. But most of the time during things like this, people are searching for somebody like us.
Do you have ADD?
Yeah.
Okay,
ADD.
this is why I ask, and it's not even anything like I do too. And I believe Rebel and I've had this conversation too, but I know one of the things with some people with ADD is they always are like, hey, me too. And that's more of a way for us to connect. And it's not really us trying to like upplay or downplay or anything.
No.
Like some people are like, oh, you're just trying to take the light. But it's like,
Yeah,
no, I'm just trying to let you know, like, me too.
yes, exactly. 1,000%. Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm guilty of that too. I'm gonna move on to you said when your body limits you, you learn really quickly that your mindset can't. Talk to me about that.
That's that whole if I sit here and wallow about it, or I live in my misery before surgeries, after surgeries, during recovery. Recovery is tough. And if you sit there and think of everything you might have lost, everything that you can't do anymore, if you think about all the negative, your life, everything, your thoughts, everything will get negative. And so many people don't realize that, you hear it all the time. You try to see something positive every day. Well, the only way I was going to learn to love life again and figure out what the next steps were to find something beautiful, even in recovery of any sorts of rehab and or recovery from a surgery. You can't sit there and look at everything negative. It will impact every part of your life. And so if I was going to stay strong, I had to look inside myself and see the good still. See that I'm still I was able to breathe again. I'm still here. I'm still fighting. The sky is blue. You find any little thing you can, because if you don't, you're gonna it, everything's worse too when it comes to medical. If you
Oh
think negative,
gosh.
your body's gonna hurt more.
So much.
Yes, and so it and it's not easy. It's not easy, and you're allowed to have days that you don't, but you better get out of them. And this is what I say to myself: you better get out of this. There's no time for this. You got to do better, self, because you want to feel better.
Yeah, it's really hard because I always say that too. Like, you're allowed to have days, that's fine, but you don't get to have weeks. You know, you need to get up, get out of your cave, and move forward and do something. What are some of the things that you look to that pull you from, we'll say, the darkness, that pull you out of those spots? What are some things that you look to?
Music, walking when I've been able to, and that's something that I fight for, because I will one day lose the ability to walk again, So walking, music, vacations, getting time, just a painting. I love painting.
Oh,
Painting is
nice.
what 100% helped me through when I became straightforward. Painting, getting my dog. I've always had an animal through all this, because through my hardest days, if I still have to take care of that animal, and so it pushes me.
Gives you purpose.
And don't get me wrong, I haven't done everything right. There's times that I forget things because of when you have this many surgeries, and I've had some concussions and some brain bleeds. It affects your memory too. So not only do I block certain parts out, but I've had some issues. So when I'm thankful for my husband helps a lot through all of that. But it's okay to have mistakes, and everybody needs to realize that mistakes are okay. Learn from them and move forward.
I think that that is a important statement on moving forward. I think with anything, I think we tend to get stuck there all the time. No matter where it is, we like to get stuck, and then we're scared to move forward because, you know, of whatever reason as well. So moving forward is an important part. I
You
want to
know what
talk.
I
Go ahead.
real you know you just saying that makes me realize that that's what my childhood taught me, is if I kept going and I kept moving, getting myself to move forward and get past the situation, mostly bad situations that have happened, I had to find ways to move forward still. So what did everything teach me in my childhood? To keep going.
Keep
And
going.
believe me, there's times I didn't. There are times that I've never been suicidal, but I've had thoughts of, would it be easier? That's not me. That's okay for, and I don't want to say okay
No,
because
I
I
know what
don't
you're
want anybody to
saying.
have those thoughts, right. But it's taught so much that for me, I needed to move forward to continue to be able to get to where I wanted to go.
Good. I like that. I'm glad that that helped, because that is one of the true to life is we move forward, right? Even and if we don't move forward, then the world moves on without us. So you might as well jump in and have, an active claim in your life instead of just letting it happen to you. Let's see. I want to talk about how you didn't just survive, you rebuilt. So I want to talk about the rebuilding stage. It says that you went back to school in 2012, graduated with high honors despite everything you were facing, and that kept you committed to kind of rebuilding. Talk to me about your rebuilding. We talked about the hard stuff, and you continue to have that, but let's talk about the rise.
I went back to school in 2012. I was able to my husband got a good job, and he's like, I was never able to do school and work. It was just too much for my brain, that whole ADD
I
ADHD
got you.
thing. And so he's like, go ahead and get back to school, go for your dream. During high school, I was in the medical field as a CNA, and could only do that for a little bit of time. I did it on midnights because you didn't have to do showers and move the patients as much. So that's how I did it with all my issues, but it was still very hard work for somebody that has back problems and stuff like that. So again, it lasted as long as I can make it last. And it was a few years I did it on and off, but I always knew I wanted to be in the medical field. So my husband was like, go ahead and go. So I went to online school during that time. That was 2012. That was like April of 2012. My mom is a type 1 diabetic my whole life. And of course, and then instead of her diabetes going to her legs, I always say it went to her brain, and she got diagnosed that year. There was already tons of signs of it, and we were going through it, but again, doctors wouldn't believe things. And so she was diagnosed with frontal lobe dementia and some other things. And so that got diagnosed, and she passed away that year, 2012. And so I had to take a month off there to deal with all of that. And then I had my neck was started. That's what was very first worked on with me. Like my first spine surgery was in my neck, and six of my surgeries have been neck. And so my neck was, oh, there's a name for it now, but I just knew it as my head wasn't staying on my spine very well, and I could kind of get it to,
Like decapitated almost, like type thing.
yeah, I can't, there's literally a condition called it. But again, that's something like, now there's a condition for it. For me, it was always just, oh, it's your scoliosis or kyphosis. Again, there was no EDS that was relatable to understand that was Charlie
Chiari,
mouth.
Chiari malformation.
And so yeah, so my head would like to not stay very well. And it was super like too flex, too move too much movement. So they had to get up there and go into the high part, and there wasn't many doctors that did it. And so I had to take off a month from that. That was 2013. And then again in 2014, I had to go back and have more done to my neck, all of my neck. And so that was 3 months, yet I still kept going. A lot of it that pushed me was my mom, because that's what she wanted to see from me. She always wanted to see that. She knew I belonged to help people to, share some of my story. She always told me to share my story. And so I kept going for her. But I also did it very addicted to pain medicine. And so I don't exactly know how I did it, but I did it
You
again.
did.
I found a good school that did one class at a time, and that's how I did it. I just had enough strength to get through all of that. They were fast paced because it was just one class. They were only a month long, but that's what I needed, and that's how I was able to push through it. Gosh, it was hard, but it was so rewarding in the end. Until
Yeah,
then, that
I'm
was
sure it
until that
fills your
was
heart with
taken.
being proud, like you're proud of it.
Yeah, very proud, but upset that that got taken from me. But again,
Yeah.
that one was a hard one. That was probably a really hard thing to lose, to know. So I made the decision. Could I probably still do something in the medical field? Yes, but I am not one that can sit at a desk and do the same thing every day, and that's why I like the I always wanted to work emergency or
Right.
just something where I'm gonna see different cases, not the same thing all the time, do the same thing all the time. And so I made the choice to say, okay, if I can't look around at situations and notice everything and be there, or to give CPR, it would be very hard on my body. And then that isn't fair to anybody that I'm trying to treat. So I could have run into the secretary, or I could have went at other avenues with it, but it wouldn't have worked. That's
It wouldn't
not
have
who
been
I
what
am.
you really wanted to do.
Right.
So, talk to me a little bit about where you're at now, career-wise, and what you do for people.
So, with losing the ability to be in the medical field, I have fought and tried to figure out what I wanted to do, like what was going to make me happy. Don't get me wrong, I tried to think that I didn't need to work, and that did not make me happy. I get it, that
I
whole doing
understand.
the same thing every day,
Right,
it's just not a thing for me.
right,
And to sit around, and I feel the more I sit around, again, I'm going to hurt more because I'm sitting around.
right.
And my brain needs purpose. I need challenges. And so I've been trying to think of what to do. What can I do? I've worked a couple little jobs, and I did some door dashing, and that's just not smart because I do drive, but nobody knows how people like. So when I told my doctor that I drive, he said, "You do what?" I said, "I drive. It's only me and Scott. What am I supposed to do?" And he's like, I said, "Why am I not supposed to?" He goes, "I don't have that answer." He said, "In the medical books, it doesn't talk anything about people being able to drive after they've been completely fused." He goes, "And normally, if it's not talked about, it's not like it's not really supposed to happen. It's not that it's illegal or anything like that." He goes, "But the thing is, if you were to get in an accident, that's your scary part, you know." So door dashing just isn't a smart idea for me. So we made the decision to let's just stop that. So what am I gonna do? What's gonna push me? What's gonna challenge me? Yet what's gonna be something that even on my hard days I can do? And so my husband and I own a travel agency. I run it basically, and it right now it's a brand new career, so we're still building it, but it's going pretty good. And again, it amazes me that me doing that and finding a passion again has brought a whole new excitement or whole new push to my life. I now I'm trying, I'm caring more about myself again and going for walks. Like we have a walking path around our where we live, and we've lived here 2.5, almost 3 years, and I just now in the last like 3 or 4 months have started utilizing it. But it's always been a thing I wanted to do because I fight the walk, but I was losing momentum because I had no challenges. I had nothing to work harder for. And so now I get to help other people. And so I started traveling alone at the age of 4. I would go to my family's always lived around. I didn't have family around when I was a kid. They always lived far away. And so on summers, even though I went through a lot of stuff, my summers were amazing because my family would take me. And so I got to fly to New York or Washington, D.C., all by myself. But that started at 4 years old. So I always would go on these vacations. And out of high school, I wanted to be a flight attendant. But back then, they had height restrictions, and I wasn't tall enough.
They're like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah. So now they don't. But then, that happened after all this. And so travel has literally always been a part of my life. I would have went that direction if I could have, and started traveling myself more. And then travel is so important to me because it is the one time that my brain does slow down, that I don't sit there and look for that I try my best not to look for all the negatives that can
Right.
happen. And it brings me peace and happiness, and I get away from things, and I want others to feel that, or I want others to de-stress. Stress kills. It really does.
Really does.
And if I'm stressed too much, my husband, he's so great because he'll be like, "Oh, we gotta go on vacation," because he just knows that it really helps. Like we've done it before my huge surgery, just little weekend trips and stuff. Even sometimes when the times are hard, we find a way because it just helps us both just and refresh and get and gain strength if you need to. And so now I need to share that with everybody else and help them find ways to quiet this crazy, chaotic life there is
Oh
out here.
gosh. And that's what we need most of all is just some peace, some joy and some peace in life. So, what is the name of your business in case someone wants to give you a call for travel?
So, again, I'm Stephanie. Oh, that's weird. Okay. So it is SJ Escapades. And I didn't do it. Hold on. This is part of my story. So when I was thinking of a name, I wanted something to SJ is both mine and my husband's initials. So
That's fine.
that works for both of us. And I wanted something that explains travel, but also explains life for me in a sense. And so, sorry, it went to something else. Hold on. Escapades is some more an act or incident involving excitement, daring, or adventure. And part of before all of this, I used to be a big adrenaline junkie as well. I've jumped out of planes, I've roller coasters like no other. And so I needed something that was me. And so I picked Escapades because it has adventure and it has excitement and everything a travel business should, everything a vacation should be for you. Daring, that's only if you want it.
I like that a lot. That is a great story. What a
Thank
great story.
you.
Yeah, what a great story. And I love it because I'll say, I'm gonna go on a little escapade.
Really? That's awesome.
That's why,
Yes.
yeah, I say that a lot because I like that. I always call my things escapades. Escapades. So yeah, no, I like it. I like it a lot.
That is so
Yeah.
ironic. How that's just
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
I do a lot of traveling. I love music and I'm very active within when my bands are traveling, it's escapades on. Like I'm gonna find a way
Yes,
to get there. So
exactly.
yeah.
Oh my
No, I
gosh,
love
I do
it.
so much. Yes.
Yeah. Well, if I'm gonna end the podcast on, if someone is struggling and they're in a dark moment of their life, what is some words of wisdom you could give them?
First off, if you ever need to reach out, you can reach out. Second off, tomorrow is a new day. And so there's two quotes I live by. Tomorrow is a new day. You wake up, the sun rises again. Try to rise yourself. If you can't, tomorrow is a new day. I don't care if you have to stay in that room and shelter yourself out from life, from habits, from anything. You do what you need to do to get to tomorrow. We want you to get to tomorrow. The other quote I live by is don't judge a book by its cover, and just know that the people that you think may be judging, the people that you people different people, places, anything, you never know what somebody is truly going through. It's always been implemented in my life that you never know what somebody's truly going through because so many people don't realize lots of things I go through because I'm very happy, chipper. And
Sure.
again, it might be a part of it, I guess, would be, like my survival. But at the other part, it's just me. I've always kind of been the positive, find something positive person. It's just learning to implement it in the right times. But just know that there's going to be a tomorrow, and majority of the time there is a light at the end of that tunnel. It might take one day, it might take one week, it might take one month, or even a year to years. But if you're willing to put in some work and look at things in a different way, you should be able to, and I hope you can get through things. And if you can't reach out, not only to somebody like me, you
Yeah.
reach out to somebody, talk it out. Everybody's worth it.
So many times we think us as humans that we're alone. I even feel that way sometimes, and I know I'm not, but I feel it, and that's what people don't realize is we get judgmental when we're listening to someone say, I'm alone, and I feel alone, and it's like that's how they feel. That's their truth, in that moment. But it is one thing that binds us all is grief and mental health and struggles. We all as humans have them. And if you are struggling, there are people actually that you can reach out to. It may not be the people necessarily that you would have thought, but we have a whole community. We have Stephanie here. We have me. We have lots of people, and they would much rather you reach out than you not. So.
Yeah, and again, I mean, some people's weight is heavy, and I no judgment. It is what it is, but the world is better with you around.
I agree. Well, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for helping me share my story.
Of course, of course. So I'll cut it off there and I'll go through.